What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of Maggie and Perloff. Maggie Grange and Perloff both out this entire week. So Zach Gelb here with you all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. K.J. Wright, the former Seattle Seahawks and Raider, will join us coming up at the top of the hour. And then at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, the former NFL MVP, Joe Theismann, will stop by. I gotta just be honest right out of the gate. I'm in a food coma right now. So I had some friends that were in town. They're actually seeing Fish, the band, last night and tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And they said to me, Zach, we know you're working early this week than normal because, you know, usually when you have friends in town, you go and you meet out for dinner or something. Let's do lunch. So I said, okay, yeah, I could actually do lunch. You know, I'm not working today until 3 p.m. Eastern. So I went to this place, Mark's off Madison, right at noon Eastern. I didn't leave until 2 p.m. Eastern. I looked at my watch and I said, I got to get out of here because I have to get to the studio to do the show. I had an iced coffee, which isn't anything crazy. That probably gets the juices flowing a little bit earlier than normal. And then I had a French dip. And the French dip was so large, I don't even know how I'm going to make it through the final 3 hours of this show. So it's going to be a little bit crazy today. It was delicious, absolutely delicious, a wonderful sandwich, but I kind of didn't have good clock management, let's say, or load management, if you want to say, because now I'm sitting here in the studio and I feel as if many of us felt about a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving, where you just go, okay, I just want to unbuckle my belt, put on some sweatpants, and just sit and do nothing after devouring food like that. So I guess you could say I'm playing a little bit hurt today. This could be my Willis Reed moment on CBS Sports Radio. Anyway, we welcome you in. We're happy for you to be here with us, Emmanuel Babari, along the other way. And usually on a show like this, we would start the show off talking some NFL. I'm actually in a college football mood just for the opening segment. And I have a thought about Jim Harbaugh. Now, when you do this job, usually you have to be opinionated, right? You got to have passion. You got to be opinionated. You got to be knowledgeable. And you have to entertain. If you can't do those four things, you're not going to make it in this industry. I guess I can do that because I keep on getting hired places. But if you think otherwise, you could always tweet me and tell me I'm boring and I'm a jerk at Zach Gelb on Twitter. You give me a call at 855-212-4CBS. But most of the times, I hate when you listen to a talk show host and they go, I don't know, right? You want your talk show host to have an opinion. Not that if someone calls you and asks you a question and you literally don't know the answer for, don't just blow smoke up all of our asses and say, oh, yeah, no, this is what's going to happen. I know this and that. But usually when it's something simple like, is Jim Harbaugh going to be back with the Michigan Wolverines next year? You should be able to have a yes or no answer instantly. Even with all that I just said, in that last 2 minutes, I really don't know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do this offseason. Because if you remember last offseason, that was coming off finally beating Ohio State. That was coming off a Big Ten championship and a berth in the college football playoff where they got dismantled by Georgia. If it was up to Jim Harbaugh, no matter how you spin it, would have taken the Minnesota Vikings job. You don't go interview in Minnesota for an entire day. Like, he was there for 12, 13 hours. It was an outrageous amount of time in an interview. You don't do that unless you want a job. Because I think we've all been in job interviews where you don't really know sometimes if you want the job. Or sometimes you go into the job interview, you're like, yeah, this is my dream job. I definitely want it. And you hope it's a long interview process and it goes great and they offer you the job. But if you didn't want a job, then you wouldn't sit through a 10-hour interview. Like, let's say if I was getting interviewed here at CBS Sports Radio before they hired me to do the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time slot. And I knew that I was just taking the interview just for the experience, and let's just say I didn't want the job. There would be things that I would do to make sure that that interview would wrap up as quick as possible. And you could control the answers that you give. But the fact that that interview went as long as it did in Minnesota, it means that Jim Harbaugh wanted the Vikings job. Now, he knew the general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and the general manager and the Wolf family elected not to hire Jim Harbaugh, and they went with Kevin O'Connell. You fast forward a year later, worked out well for the Vikings. They're in the playoffs. Not that I think they're going to a Super Bowl, but they got a shot to go to a Super Bowl. And Kevin O'Connell is in line to be one of the finalists for Coach of the Year. And on the other side with Jim Harbaugh, he has now had sustained success at Michigan, his school, his alma mater, where now he has defeated and beat the snot out of Ohio State twice. He's won two Big Ten championships. And now, coming up this weekend, he's going to coach in his second ever college football playoff game with Michigan. And not only that, unlike last year, you're expected to win this game. And the indication would be and the feeling would be that Michigan, come January 9th, the night of the national championship game, is going to be playing in the national championship game up against what I would think would be Georgia. Or if you're an Ohio State fan, you're going to tell me that it's going to be Ohio State. So I'm just wondering, as we have three jobs open right now, with the Carolina Panthers being open, the Indianapolis Colts being open, and the Denver Broncos, if Jim Harbaugh wants to get back in to the NFL. Because a year ago, no matter what he says, and he has even admitted that he had that itch and that desire that was still there, because when he was the coach of the 49ers, he, in 4 years, got the three NFC title games and lost the Super Bowl to his brother. So he felt like there was some unfinished business in the NFL, and he was interested in pursuing and dipping his toe back into those waters. But he didn't get the opportunity last year. Now, there's no doubt about it that if Jim Harbaugh really wants to go back to the NFL, one team will at least hire him. Last year, he only took one interview. So if he really, really, really wants to go back to the NFL, you may need to diversify and select and take more interviews than just one. Because last year, you put all your eggs in the Minnesota Vikings basket, and you didn't get the job, and then you went back to Michigan. Now, let me remind you, when he went back to Michigan last year, he said this is not going to be a yearly thing. There's always going to be speculation, but I'm coming back to be the coach of the Michigan Wolverines. Now, earlier in December, he did say that time of the year type of speculation, but I think no man knows the future. Now, when you hear that, and I'll give you the rest of the quote in just a second, when you just hear that, but I think no man knows the future, you're thinking, well, if you interviewed 10 plus hours last year for the Vikings job and didn't get it, and now you're saying no man knows the future when you're in control of what opportunities you could pursue, I think a lot of people are going to be speculating that Jim Harbaugh intends to go back to the NFL. But then he follows it up with, but I think that people that think we've done a good job and are pleased with the job that we've done here at Michigan, they're going to be very happy to learn that we will be back enthusiastically coaching the Wolverines in 2023. And for those people that don't approve of the job we've done or rather see somebody else coach here, I think they'll be most likely disappointed to learn we'll be back coaching the Wolverines and in 2023. So you hear the first part of that answer where it's like, oh, no man knows the future. And you go, is Jim Harbaugh going to entertain NFL offers? But then you hear him say he's going to be coaching Michigan in 2023. Now, I could already hear people jamming up the phone line saying, well, Nick Saban said he was not going to be the coach of Alabama when he was with the Dolphins, and he'll be the coach of the Dolphins, and he ended up being the coach of Alabama. And there's been many other examples of that as well. We're going to find out sooner rather than later if Jim Harbaugh actually is going to hold true to his word that this is not going to be a yearly thing, him trying to dip his toe in the waters of the NFL, because in the next few weeks we'll know if he actually takes an interview or not. And we'll know if he'll still be the coach of the Michigan Wolverines next year or in the NFL. And I really don't know how this is going to play out. And anything he says right now is just going to be a distraction to this team. And you don't want to be a distraction to this team because you are two wins away from winning a national championship. You are a win away from being in a national championship. Now, I don't think this is a distraction leading into this weekend, leading into Saturday. But if they win, and let me remind you, when the national championship game, it is on that Monday, January 9th. Well, what is January 8th? January 8th is the final day of the NFL regular season. So on January 9th, which is Black Monday, maybe it's not a distraction heading into that game, but the timing does line up if Michigan is playing in that game. We're right after that. Things could move rather quickly because we already know three jobs are open. Broncos getting rid of Nathaniel Hackett, who couldn't hack it in the NFL. You already have known now for months that the Panthers job is open. I think Steve Wilks is most likely going to get that job back. But if Jim Harbaugh is interested, it totally changes the conversation. And then you have the Colts, who have Jeff Saturday off the couch from ESPN, the former great center who is their interim coach. And even though Jim Irsay tried to make it seem like that's a chance he could be back, I'd be stunned if Jeff Saturday's the coach next year. And oh yeah, by the way, Jim Harbaugh is pretty popular in Indianapolis. So I just wonder, with the three jobs that we have open and more jobs opening up, probably Arizona opening up, as I'm starting to think Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim won't be back next year. And we'll see what happens with the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs. And there's a few other jobs that have the chance to open up. I just wonder if Jim Harbaugh is at least going to take an interview. Not that this can't change a year from now or 2 years from now, but if you take an interview, that means you're listening. That means the NFL isn't out of your system. That means that some part of you, whether it's more than 50% or not, is interested in going back to the NFL. If you don't take an interview and you say that you're going to be back as the coach of Michigan and this is not going to become a yearly thing, it's one thing to say those things, but to not take the interview actually means that you're going to stay true to your word. And as we sit here on the 29th day of December, as we're in the final days of 2022, and we get ready to flip the calendar to 2023, I genuinely do not know if Michigan's going to have Jim Harbaugh back next year. Because once again, there's one thing to say, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. But then there's another thing not to take an interview with an NFL team. And for Harbaugh, you know, it's weird because he makes all this money. I know he took a salary reduction and then ended up getting a lot of it back in the buyout. It's only $3 million if he wanted to go to the NFL this year. So, like, you say you have sympathy for him and people go, like, let's not get crazy. Let's not get too emotional. I actually don't think there's a wrong decision here. Because at Michigan, that's your school. You've already got them to a spot where no one thought you could get after your first few years, where you restored the program, but you didn't bring the program to where it needed to for people to say Michigan is back, because you weren't beating Ohio State. Now you've beaten Ohio State twice. You defeated Ohio State twice. You've gone now to two college football playoffs. Who knows how far you take it this year? I would anticipate that they would be in the national championship game, and Georgia probably still wins a national championship. But if you lose a national championship, do you say, this is my school. You never want to be in a position, not that he's anywhere close to getting fired, but down the road, maybe people start to turn. Okay, you got us to this spot, but we want to go win a national championship. You never want to put yourself back in a spot where you're in a situation of getting fired by your alma mater, like let's say 4 or 5 years down the road. And with playoff expansion coming, you have one more regular playoff and then you go to the 12-team format, it's going to be even tougher to go on out there and win a national championship when more teams are going to get invited to the dance. So it's not crazy, like in 5-6 years, for people to be saying like, oh yeah, Jim Harbaugh's great, we love that, now he can beat Ohio State, but we're not going to win a national championship with him. And then on the other hand, you could look at it as, that's a reason why, since I have the program in a great spot, I'm so popular right now, that's why I would go pursue the NFL. But then, if you have that itch to go back to the NFL because you got so close to win a Super Bowl and you didn't do so, what happens if you lose the national championship game this year by a field goal? Isn't that itch still going to be burning there, but in the college game to go win a national championship at your school? So it's kind of a tough situation where your NFL past is pulling at you, but then the situation that you're in right now is a pretty damn good one. So I'm just going to be really curious to see one thing. And that one thing is, if whenever the Michigan season ends, do we find out that Jim Harbaugh actually takes an NFL interview or not? Because if you take the interview, the words of you saying, I'm definitely going to be the coach of Michigan in 2023, or this isn't going to become a yearly thing, yeah, you may still end up being the coach of Michigan in 2023 because you don't get the job, but it shows you that you're not going to be at Michigan that much longer, because then that would be back-to-back off seasons that you entertain the Vikings job and then entertained another job. And I just really do not know what Harbaugh is going to do. Usually, I'm able to give you, yeah, I think this is going to happen. Or, no, I don't think this is going to happen. I think this is such a conflicting thought probably in the mind of Jim Harbaugh, where, right, you have the devil and the angel on your shoulder. The angel, and not that the NFL is the devil, but the angel is, stay at Michigan, stay with what's working. And the devil's saying, the NFL demons of your past are calling you. You got so close to winning a Super Bowl, but yet so far, come back to the dark side of the NFL. And that's where Jim Harbaugh's in the middle saying, what do I do? Time will tell how serious Harbaugh was about staying at Michigan and that this was not going to be a yearly thing. Because once again, if you take an NFL interview this year, no matter if you get the job or not, it shows you that even though what is working at Michigan and what you're doing at Michigan is working, you have 1 foot in, but then also 1 foot out. Zach Gelb here with you in for Maggie and Perloff all throughout the week on CBS Sports Radio. You give me a call, I'll turn to you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think Jim Harbaugh will be in the NFL next season? Or do you think he'll be back on the sideline with Michigan? Take a timeout. Come on back.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. In this NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. The wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC and NFC championship games, the Pro Bowl game, and Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. And it's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. So just giving more thought here on the whole Derek Carr situation, as now he's away from the team. Now, you got to think when Derek Carr got benched, and I know Josh McDaniels said, yeah, he took it great. It was, great leader Derek Carr is. And I'm like, nah, no one really takes being told that you're getting fired or you're getting benched in a good way and that it was a lovey-dovey conversation. I would assume that this was Derek Carr wanting to leave the team and wanting to be away from the team. I just wonder who suggested it first. Did the team go to Derek Carr and say, Derek, we are going to bench you, and if you want to just be away from this whole situation, then you could leave the team? Or was this Derek Carr, yeah, I'm getting benched, I'm also leaving? Because the Raiders, if Derek Carr says he's going to be leaving, like if they really wanted to be jerks, they could say, okay, you're not showing up from work, we're going to then suspend you and we're not going to pay you. But I don't think you want to add more of a distraction than what the situation already is. So I would like to believe, or I tend to believe, that Derek Carr said, I don't want to be around the team anymore. And the Raiders said, okay, we're going to be fine with that. Because if you look at it where Derek Carr, who, right, is a team guy, say what you want about him, he does come off as a good leader, even though I don't think he is a franchise quarterback. Not that he's dying to be in that situation, but it is bizarre that he's just away from the team altogether. And I know it's, right, 2 weeks left of the season, so who really gives a rat's ass? It doesn't really matter. But there's one thing to get benched, and there's another thing to leave the team, even though we all know that he was not going to play again for the Raiders, because if he got hurt, let's say if Jared Stidham got hurt and they put Derek Carr in the game and then Derek Carr gets hurt, if he can't pass a physical by the third day after the Super Bowl, then he gets guaranteed $40-plus million. And the main reason why Derek Carr is getting benched is because of the financial component of this. Like, sure, the Raiders realize we're not going to bring him back. We don't want him back anymore. And you could say, oh, then why don't you play and why don't you finish out the job? Well, the Raiders, the financial decision is pretty obvious. They don't want to risk him getting hurt, and then they're going to have to owe him $40 million, $40-plus million. I think it's like $40.4 million guaranteed. I'm wondering here how the Raiders sell this to their fans. Because I don't think Derek Carr, once again, is this great quarterback. But he's good. He's solid. Yeah, he's not a bottom third quarterback in this league, but he's not a top 10 guy in this league. He shows some signs of just like teetering at top 10. But for the most part, he's like the 14th or 15th best quarterback in the NFL. And whenever you think he's going to be better than that, and he's looking like he's on this run of 2-3 really good weeks, he then falls on his face. And it's just been the way that it's happened year in and year out. But what makes Derek Carr in an advantageous situation is I do think people feel bad for Derek Carr. Because it was a year ago where he went through some things that no one should have to go through. All the craziness of John Gruden, the horrible situation of Henry Ruggs, which was just sickening when you read the details. And when you're a quarterback of an NFL team, you're the face of the franchise, you're the leader. And he had to go through all those things, Damon Arnett as well, and he was still able to find a way to throw to make an unimaginable situation and a bad situation into a decent one. Because that team, against all the odds, that had every reason to quit and every reason to fail, rallied together and made the playoffs. But in the postseason, like, Derek Carr wasn't good enough to defeat the Cincinnati Bengals, who ended up being a lot better than what most people thought a year ago. So if you are the Raiders now, what you do next is going to be fascinating, because the public does not trust you, nor should they trust you. Because there's been speculation that this was a Mark Davis-driven decision. It's ultimately, right, what your boss tells you to do, you do. But I can't rule out that Josh McDaniels definitely wanted Derek Carr back. Like, I can't say that he wanted him back because I don't think he did. So the way that this is going to get painted is the organization is putting all the incompetence this year on the shoulders of Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is going to get the blame, and Derek Carr is not going to be the one that's going to be back next year. Now, there's some scenarios where you could put the blame on one person, and everyone goes, yep, that guy's not good. Yep, that guy's the biggest root of the problem, and that guy shouldn't be back, and you could kind of save face in what's been a bad year. But when you have Mark Davis, who Raiders fans don't trust for a second, nor should they, and then you have Josh McDaniels, who has this slimy feel to him that he shouldn't be the coach, but he is the coach, I do believe there's going to be a lot of Raiders fans that could probably say Carr's just not working. Like, he's not awful, but he's not working. But then since you still have, and Davis isn't going anywhere, but you still have Josh McDaniels employed, there's no, like, silver lining of hope. There's nothing tangibly about the Raiders right now that you could latch on to and go, aha, I see the plan, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I do believe then that you get a lot of Raiders fans who in the last 24 hours are defensive and they're protective of Derek Carr, and they're trying to tell you that Derek Carr is something that he's not. Right? That, oh, he's not at fault here. He didn't play well. Now, he didn't get good coaching, but this offseason, they went out, they got him Davante Adams. Now, I know Darren Waller's been banged up. I know Hunter Renfrow's been banged up. Josh Jacobs has been productive. I know the offensive line hasn't been great. Like, there's a lot of excuses. But last year, we saw just terrible circumstances, and Derek Carr was able to fight through. This year, Derek Carr has not been a good quarterback. No matter if you're the biggest Derek Carr fan in the world or not, I think we could all admit that. So the point I'm making here is that I don't think Derek Carr is this awful quarterback, but I don't think the Raiders made the wrong decision in saying, we've seen enough, this is not going to get to go to the place we needed to go with Derek Carr, but there's nothing really in that organization right now that makes me say that this time next year they're going to be vastly better. And to see where Mark Davis and Josh McDaniels pivot to next, I just am very intrigued by it. Because we went through the scenarios yesterday. I don't think Brady is going to Las Vegas. I think a lot of teams would have to say no to Brady first, like three or four, which is a lot in NFL terms, because I don't think the market's going to be as active as what people think, for Brady to wind up in Las Vegas. Aaron Rodgers with the dead cap hit that the Packers would have to eat if he gets traded. I just don't see Rodgers going elsewhere this offseason. If you're telling me the grand plan is Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, sure. Jimmy G, I think, is slightly a better quarterback than Derek Carr, but does that totally change my outlook on the Raiders if Jimmy G's the quarterback next year over Derek Carr? No, it doesn't. If you're going to tell me, oh, Baker Mayfield's played well in two out of his last three games, get excited for Baker Mayfield, then I think he actually got worse at the quarterback position. So I'm trying to find a name out there that you could bring in that makes me say, wow, okay, I could set aside my lack of confidence in Josh McDaniels and Mark Davis and gravitate around that name and rally around that name. And like, yeah, if it's Brady, that'd be one thing, but I don't think Brady's going there. If it was Rodgers, that'd be one thing, but I don't think Rodgers is going there. So I don't believe there's a realistic name. You know, if you tell me Lamar Jackson gets traded, different story. But I don't think Lamar Jackson is getting traded to the Raiders this offseason. So I don't think there's a realistic name via trade or free agency that if you're a Raiders fan in the next few weeks or few months when you see this thing play out in March, that you're jumping up and down and saying to yourself, wow, okay, even though I was hesitant of what the Raiders were doing, getting rid of Derek Carr, we significantly upgraded and we're going to be a better team next year and we're definitely going to go to the playoffs. That's why I really do believe, and they're currently positioned with the 9th overall pick, that they're going to either lose these last two games and that draft pick maybe jumps up a few spots, or maybe like a team like the Bears that will be in the top five, top three, they don't need a quarterback. They got Justin Fields. You could find a trade partner to go get that guy if you fall in love with whoever's available. If it's a Bryce Young, if it's a C.J. Stroud, if it's a Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, like whoever that quarterback is that they scout and they say, okay, that's the guy that we have to go get. But right now, the Raiders have a trust problem where you don't trust Mark Davis, you don't trust Josh McDaniels, and yes, Derek Carr is getting pinned for the incompetence of this organization this year and getting blamed, and that's going to be the casualty. That's going to be the guy that they let go. And I could see why Raiders fans are like, whoa, what are we doing here? We're going to support Derek Carr. We wish Derek Carr was back next year. But ultimately, I don't think Derek Carr was taking you to a level of anywhere that was going to be that high. But then on the other side, are any of the people that are running this team right now going to make the right decision to get the next guy in there that could be drastically better than one Derek Carr? And with what I've seen so far in this lone year of McDaniels in Las Vegas, even though McDaniels has an extensive offensive background, I would assume that the answer is more likely no than yes in terms of can Josh McDaniels turn around the Raiders? Because I don't think it's going to happen. And eventually he'll go back and he will milk off the teat of one Bill Belichick when he's the offensive coordinator once again in New England years and years from now. But who knows, maybe Bill O'Brien's coming back from some of the rumors that you may be reading. So maybe that offensive coordinator position could not be open in New England a few years from now. Zach Yelp here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The Raiders have a trust problem because their fans, for good reasons, don't trust Mark Davis and Josh McDaniels, and I'm just fascinated by who's going to be starting for them next year and what their big grand plan is. And if you're Derek Carr, and even if you stormed out of the office and you're like, all right, I'm done with this team, you disrespected me, I know he loves the Raiders, it's kind of a blessing for you, dude. You're going to either be a free agent or you get to control where you get traded to because you have a no-trade clause in your contract. Hate to break it to you, and maybe Derek's naive. It wasn't ever going to work. You were never going to win anything with the Raiders. Now you get to kind of pick where you go next, and I can guarantee you this, unless you are just a terrible decision maker, it's going to be tough to pick a spot next year where you're going to be in a worse situation than the one that you were in this year. So this is new life for one Derek Carr, and he should be appreciative that the Raiders are saying, yeah, we don't believe in you anymore. Zach Yelp here with you on CBS Sports Radio. A big, big, big week for one NFL head coach that we praised a lot throughout this year. We'll tell you who that coach is on the other side. Zach Yelp here with you on CBS Sports Radio. KJ Wright going to be stopping by 17 minutes from now. Joe Theismann will join us at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. NFL Week 17 is here. That's a bizarre statement to say. It's already Week 17. Cowboys and Titans tonight in a game that means absolutely nothing. Tennessee, it's a win and you're in game next week up against the Jaguars. They're going to be starting Joshua Dobbs tonight, who is on the practice squad for the Lions like 8 or 9 days ago. So Malik Willis has already been benched. We know Ryan Tannehill is now out for the year. Cowboys not expected to have Tony Pollard. So if you play fantasy football, that's a problem. And oh yeah, by the way, if you're in your fantasy football championship, Derrick Henry going to be out for tonight's game. I saw he was doubtful. So that's a problem too. So that game really means nothing tonight. You look at the slate this weekend, and when you talk about pressure spots, like Cardinals, Falcons, no pressure. Bears, Lions, pressure on the Lions as you're trying to hold on to your playoff hopes as you were 1-6, had a bad performance last weekend up against Carolina where they ran right through you. So you got to win this game up against Chicago. Jaguars, Texans, no pressure because for the Jaguars, it comes down to the game against Tennessee next weekend. Broncos and Chiefs, the Chiefs are still hoping that Buffalo loses, which has a chance this weekend up against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. And then the Chiefs would control their own destiny as long as you don't lose, but you'll destroy the Denver Broncos. Colts and Giants. Giants could lock up a playoff berth. Saints and Eagles. Eagles could lock up the number one overall seed. We'll see if Jalen Hurts is going to be able to return. Panthers and Bucks. Yeah, if Steve Wilks wins this game, he could basically solidify himself to be back next year as the Panthers head coach. And for Tampa Bay, this is a win and you're in type of game. If you don't make the playoffs this year and you're Tampa Bay in this dreadful NFC South, I don't know if I'm bringing back Todd Bowles next year. I probably wouldn't. Browns and Commanders, pressure on the Commanders. Now you're going back to Carson Wentz, but you do control your own destiny if you win out the final two games of the season. This Browns team has been bad. 49ers and Raiders, who cares? Game is terrible. Jets and Seahawks, pressure for both teams as they're trying to keep their playoff hopes alive at 7-8. Vikings and Packers, I'm not someone that's really believing that the Packers are going to be making the playoffs. I know that they have a shot with these final two games, but you look at Minnesota, I think Minnesota is getting disrespected this week. I know a few weeks ago, Minnesota, they played the Lions, and the Lions were a 2.5-point favorite. And I go, okay, that line's funky. Detroit shouldn't be a favorite, but they are. It's like they're begging you to take Minnesota. And I stayed away from that game because I had a feeling Detroit was going to win. This week it's similar where Green Bay, even though Green Bay is at home, they're a 3.5-point favorite. I am not going to get all delirious over what I saw from the Packers last week. If I'm getting 3.5 points with the Vikings, I'll plus the 3.5 points with Minnesota this week because, let's be real, if Tua Tagovailoa wasn't concussed in that fourth quarter where he threw three interceptions, the Packers don't win that game. Like, if they just got competent quarterback play in that fourth quarter, Green Bay is donezo. Rams and Chargers, no pressure. Chargers already have a playoff spot. Steelers and Ravens, like, I can't say there's a ton of pressure in that one. Bills and Bengals. Bengals, they need a win, and then the Chiefs to lose down the stretch, and the Bengals to win out for them to get the number one overall seed. But Buffalo, if you just win these final two games, you get the number one overall seed. So the one matchup that I intentionally left out, because I think it's a matchup for one coach that has the most pressure on him this weekend, it's the Dolphins and the Patriots. And no, this is not going to be a hot take about how Bill Belichick should be fired and all that. I'm not one of those crazy Patriot fans. And I'm not even saying the pressure's on Bill Belichick this weekend. But the pressure's on Miami this weekend. Because you look at one coach in particular, Mike McDaniel. We all fell in love with Mike McDaniel. And this team at one point looked like they were going to be a lock to make the NFL postseason when they were sitting there at 8-3. And now, after losing 5 in a row or 4 in a row, they're 8-7. And McDaniel this year, when they went on that 3-game losing streak earlier in the year, where Tua started that game when he should not have been starting up against Cincinnati, got knocked out of the game, and they lost that game, then lost two games, you know, after that. In that stretch without Tua, they were not able to win a game. So you look at the Dolphins this year without Tua Tagovailoa, even though Tua has not been playing well during the course of this 4-game losing streak, Mike McDaniel, even though he's done a nice job with the Dolphins this year, it's now starting to look similarly, just in a reverse fashion, in what happened with Brian Flores. Because when Brian Flores was with the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins had a great defense and the offense was bad. Now Mike McDaniel has a really special offense, but the defense has been that spectacular. And Brian Flores got really close to making the playoffs and then ended up missing the playoffs. Now this is year one, to be fair, for Mike McDaniel. But where they were a few weeks ago to where they are now, and I know if they don't make the playoffs and Tua isn't going to play these final 2 weeks of the season, which we know he's not going to play this weekend, it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. Quite frankly, since I know the NFL wants me to say, oh, this is his second concussion of the year, I know that I'm not a doctor, but I'm and I know you could say, oh, trust the medicals. I always have a trust issue with the NFL. I saw what I saw. You know, when you look back at Tua in that game against Buffalo, if that wasn't a concussion, then I don't know what a concussion is. And I know they said it was a back injury and there was an investigation and everything. I'm going to think that Tua suffered 3 concussions this year that we know of. And how many more did he suffer that we don't know of? That's a whole different conversation. But I do believe it would not be in the best interest of Tua Tagovailoa if they do make him come back and play this year in the regular season. Because sometimes you can get cleared, but it doesn't mean that you should play. And I would be, I don't want to say I'd be shocked if we see Tua again, because I guess nothing really shocks me anymore in the NFL. But it would be tough to understand, and it would be a bad look for the NFL if the Dolphins play Tua next week. So you look at the Dolphins, I do think there's an enormous amount of pressure on Mike McDaniel for this week, because we've seen him be without his quarterback this year in Tua in three games, and he's lost all three. Now, you're going up against the Patriots, who have a good defense. But it's not as if you're getting thrown into a situation where you have the worst backup quarterback in the world, right? This is not, and no offense, this is not like Nathan Peterman is now the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. This is not a terrible situation when you're going to Teddy Bridgewater. Because Teddy Bridgewater has been solid in this league. Oh, when he was with the Saints, he started five games. He won all those five games. And then set him up in a nice thought-to-be situation at the time in Carolina before that didn't work after 1 year. Like, there was a thought for a while that Teddy Bridgewater was going to be a good quarterback in this league when he was with Minnesota and then unfortunately had that just terrible, horrific injury. So I'm not telling you Teddy Bridgewater is great, like, woohoo, Teddy Bridgewater, here come the Miami Dolphins. But you're going up against a Patriot team that does not have this mystique about them anymore. They don't have this aura about them anymore. On offense, they have set offense back this year by 100 years in the NFL. And the Patriots are banged up at the running back spot. Their offensive line is no good. Matt Patricia, who shouldn't be calling the plays, is calling the plays, and he has zero confidence and zero trust in Mac Jones. And the only way that the Dolphins lose this game is if Teddy Bridgewater is just a turnover machine. Now, it's not like a lot they win this game. But I do think if Mike McDaniel is as great as this coach that people want to make him out to be, where, oh, he's a genius and he's so innovative on the offensive side of the ball, he should be able to come up with a game plan when you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, when you have good running backs, that should be able, even going up against a really good Patriots defense, you should be able to score 20-something points. You should be able to outscore, for what has been most of the year, a lethargic, insipid, just pedestrian offense of the New England Patriots. But for McDaniel, I think anything at this rate, even if Tua does not play for the rest of the year, anything short of not being in the playoffs, I think is a disappointment this year. So I want to see, without Tua, how great of a coach Mike McDaniel is. Because the ship started to sink the last few weeks. Now you're without your guy. You're at 8-7. But the next 2 weeks, you go up against the Patriots and you go up against the Jets. And I know the Jets have a really good defense, but they don't have much on offense, even though they're getting Mike White back. And I know the Patriots have a really good defense, but they don't have much on offense. If you are this great of an offensive mind as a head coach in this league, you should be able to devise up a game plan, even up against two really good defenses, where your offense finds a way to score enough points, because the two offenses that are going to be going up against your defense, which is not great, I can't really expect that the Patriots and the Jets are all of a sudden going to turn out to be high-octane offenses. If you get in the 20-point range, like if you find a way to go get three touchdowns against the Patriots and three touchdowns against the Jets, I would think that would be enough, because from the Patriots and Jets offenses, I have not seen a lot to suggest to me that I could anticipate either of those two offenses getting to three touchdowns. So a lot of pressure on Mike McDaniel this week, and the narrative could change very quickly about Mike McDaniel. I'm just curious to see what happens these final 2 weeks of the season. KJ Wright going to join us next to talk about Derek Carr and go around the league. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.